Hello out there, vegan sphere. Hello, vegans. Is there so hard not?
It's so hard to not abuse animals.
Carnies can fuck themselves. Go fuck themselves.
This is a shout out for vegans.
Well, vegans, we've made it one more day. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Southern California, and I hope that you are having a wonderful day. You know, time is a mystery. It's timey-wimey. And I like to think that as I try to dig back in my memory banks, I'm trying to remember a time when I was a kid. I used to think that global warming, we'd lick global warming, you know, we'd fix it just like we did the ozone layer. You know, I remember people like, the ozone layer, we're all going to die, the ozone layer. And we got rid of like the fluorocarbon, the CFCs, what are the chemofluorocarbon, whatever they're called. And we got rid of those. We got rid of aerosol cans and things like that. We made it so that we wouldn't damage the ozone layer so much. And now, the Republicans are saying that they want to plant a trillion trees. It sounds good when you say it like that. Plant a trillion trees. Let's plant a trillion trees. Where, though? Where should we plant them? A trillion trees is about the land of the United States of America. That's about how much land we're talking about that would take a trillion trees. The continental United States. So we'd have to replace all of our, like, where are we going to plant all these trees? You know what I'm saying? How are we going to buy all this land, plant all these trees? How are we going to do this stuff? Plus, scientists are saying the earth's drying out. It's getting warmer. By the time we get these trees planted, they're going to become tinder. They're just going to be fuel for the fire. There's going to be more fuel for all the fires going down. But the worst part about it is that move away from climate change denial. I remember talking about this on this show, going like, never forget who for 50 years said climate change wasn't real. Wait till they all come around, because they will. They will come around. They'll be like, oh, well, we didn't. That was the old Republicans. That wasn't us. They're still singing the same tune, though. They do not want to try to curb climate change in a way that's meaningful by reducing greenhouse gases, or I don't know, stop harming animals, stop raising animals for slaughter, stop raising food to feed to animals for slaughter, stop putting energy into animals to slaughter them. No, they don't want to do any of that. Their idea is a trillion trees. I think the Republicans are always really good at bumper stickers, because like it, you know what doesn't work on a bumper sticker? It requires more energy to put into an animal than the animal gives you. You have to put more energy into an animal to extract energy out. You get less energy out than you put in. That is a problem. That is a big problem, just like on morals and ethics aside. That is a fundamental problem. We cannot get past that. In order to get energy / calories out of an animal, we have to put more into the animal. We get less out than we put in. It's a very simple engineering problem. We cannot sustain that. There's not enough to go around. So, since we're in an energy crisis and the world is melting, perhaps we should grow a conscience, a collective conscience. You've heard of collective conscience, and say it's wrong to destroy animals and keep feeding them and feeding them and feeding them and getting less and less and less out. Yeah. So that's hard to put on a bumper sticker. It's hard to put that on a bumper sticker. You could say meat is murder. That's a good bumper sticker. But then they go, nuh-uh. They deny that. So the climate change situation now is we're going to plant a trillion trees. Let's plant a trillion trees. With where will we plant a trillion trees? It's in this article, they're saying that that is the amount of land to make a trillion trees is the entire United States of America.
That's
we'd have to buy a country in South America. It's just like such a ruse to, so we don't want to limit energy consumption. We don't want to limit greenhouse gases. We don't want to stop shipping liquefied gas to the rest of the world, liquefied natural gas. We don't want to do any of that. No, we don't want to stop cutting down trees. We don't want to tell the timber companies to do any of that. We're not going to stop cutting down trees. We're just going to plant a trillion trees. That's the goal. Republicans moving away from climate change denial. Yes, they are. This is a big deal. True. Fair enough. But their solution is a trillion trees. That's like saying the solution is a giant mirror that reflects the sun into the space. When the solution always has been stop eating animals. Stop being unethical with your use of energy. That's it. Stop using energy unethically. That's the whole solution. The solution's always been the same. They've been saying it since I was a kid. The animal thing, I didn't know until I was probably, 20 years, something like in my 20s. But the rest of it, don't use energy unethically. Don't turn your AC on until it's truly unbearable. Wear a tank top first. Wear a tank top and shorts inside. That would be your first step. Then turn on the AC later when it's too hot. Instead, people are like, oh, it's 75 degrees out. That's a little too hot for me. I'm going to put the AC on, get it down to 68. Yeah. It's a problem. Stop burning fossil fuels. There you go. That would be the first thing to do, right? Stop burning fossil fuels. But they don't want to do that. That is not on their agenda. Their agenda is a trillion trees, which is, I'm telling you, they are always so good at bumper stickers. And it sounds so great. A trillion trees. Let's plant a trillion trees. How are we going to do it? I don't know. Money. We're going to throw money at it. All right, Republicans, how are we going to do that? The army's going to do it. that's where it's going to go. The army. Yeah. The Spanish Fascist Party is negating the climate crisis so hard, has proposed shutting down meteorological agency. Ben Greenberg, the first of the day. Thank you. Not enough space on the planet. Trees take 40 years to grow CO2 back to the atmosphere when they're on fire, and forest fires are going to happen. Exactly, Ben Greenberg. That's exactly the point. Yes, they're saying anyone, all the scientists are saying, if you just plant the trees, it takes forever to grow them. And by the time that they're grown up, the climate disaster is far worse, and they just become fuel for the global forest fires that we're going to get more of. We're just going to have more fuel for the fires. A trillion trees. Also, it's such a ridiculous thing. Is already happening. Yeah. But the idea is so ludicrous. Like, we'll spread out. We're going to spread out the blame as much as possible. Because here's what will actually happen with this trillion tree idea. They'll say, oh, well, we're building partnerships with other nations so that they'll grow half a billion trees and we'll grow half a billion trees. But the Chinese folks, they're not planting trees. They're not planting the trees that we want them to plant. Neither is North Korea. Here, there's a dude in North Korea, by the way. North Korea, we just found out there's some American that just went on a tourist trip to the South Korea, North Korea border, and just went to North Korea. What the hell? So now he's in North Korea. They've got him in custody. No one knows who this guy is. They're not. They're being very hush hush. He might be a defector. Who's defecting? But he's an American. You gonna defect from America to North Korea? Cuckoo. Maybe it's Dennis Rodman. It might be Dennis Rodman. I mean, he loves North Korea. He loves North Korea. Maybe that's what it is. That's the weird. I was gonna talk more about that, but we don't know anything about this North Korea thing. It's a bit wild. Things are heating up in North Korea. We got B-52s flying, whatever. We got bombers flying. We've got a submarine over there. We've got all sorts of stuff happening in North Korea. It's getting a little scary again. Every few years, we got to have a little dance with Armageddon over with North Korea, the final frontier of the Cold War, the last one that's left. Also, they're introducing underwater drones in the Crimean Sea, so that'll be interesting. Things are getting kind of dicey all over the world as we fight for natural resources on a dying planet. I just want to mention one more news thing. Why aren't pearls vegan? Here's how they're produced. Now, we always be talking about bivalves. Why? Because there's all of these pick me vegans like to say that we're all talking about eating oysters. Don't eat oysters. If you're vegan, don't eat oysters. Now, here's this article in Plant-Based News. Feel free to read it. They're mostly talking about pearls. I give you diamonds and pearls. If I could, I would have gave you the world. But all I can do is just promise you my love. This Pearl. That's Pearl by Prince. Sorry about that. So pearls, they're not vegan because animals are tortured in order to make the pearl. So they stick an irritant into the oyster's mouth, into its body, into his body, her body, into their body. You take an irritant that's proven to work into their body and they clap shut. Now, the clapping shut thing is very important because not only do they kind of hide from humans when you try to pry them open, they also don't want to be open. They fight, which makes you think flight reflex. If they have flight reflex, evolutionary biologists will tell you that is the first sign of sentience. Ancient sentience from the very beginning of animal evolution. That is what that the flight reflex is, the branch in the road that of evolution. Some life forms did not develop it, and they developed evolutionary adaptations in order to benefit from being eaten, and others developed a flight reflex to avoid being eaten, and that was their evolutionary adaptation. They survive longer and are able to reproduce. Plants, on the other hand, like tomatoes, they evolve to be eaten. If you eat a tomato and you poop out the seeds, that's good for the tomato as a species. They've adapted so that you can poop out the seeds and the seeds will go then grow someplace else because animals walk around. So a bear eats a tomato and a bear walks 100 miles, shits out the tomato, the tomato, he loves it. The seeds, he loves it. He made it with a little bit of gazpacho. Do you like gazpacho? I hope you do. And then the seeds hit the ground and more tomato plants grow. That's an evolutionary adaptation. But the oyster and other animals that we call them animals, they evolved to not want to be eaten so that they can reproduce more into the future. See, that's the fork in the road, so to speak. Since Darwin, we've been talking about it. Lots of evolutionary biologists have reaffirmed this. This is standing science. This is established law of the land. Oysters will clap shut. they develop nacre, which is the shiny part of the pearl, because they're so irritated by the stuff we're sticking into their faces that they develop this immune response to avoid pain. So they clearly experience pain and they clearly experience fear, just observationally. But what about ganglia and central nervous systems? I don't know, but they clearly are afraid and they clearly get annoyed and irritated. So I say don't torture them. Let's err on the side of that. That's why plant-based news is saying that pearls are not vegan. Eating oysters is not vegan. Just wanted to say that one more time. Every time there's an article about bivalves, I'm going to mention it on the show because I'm so sick and tired of idiotic fake vegans, pick-me vegans, trying to tell us that, no, it's okay to eat bivalve. Why? And also, why is that something that you want to even talk about? Stop destroying animal life. Be kind to animals. Don't kill them. And if you said, well, what about rose thorns? What about thorns on roses? Is that not a defense mechanism? Yeah, maybe. But I also, if I saw a kid just whipping plants for no reason, whipping rose bushes, just killing him for no reason, I say, hey kids, stop that. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Let the rose alone. The rose is not doing anything to you. Leave him alone. Not that I think that if a kid beats a cat or beats a rose, I think it's, we got two different types of kids here, right? You got one who's like a little dumber, and we got another one who's just a dumb kid, doesn't know what's what. You see, there's a difference. That's all I wanted to say about that. I hope that that wasn't such bad news, because it is Tuesday, and Tuesday is supposed to be good news day, and that means that we have to have our daily affirmation. I'm Skyjack Morgan, and this is your daily affirmation for vegans only. Vegans only. I am always living the best version of myself. I'm always living the best version of myself. Wow, I wish that were true. Man, I could think of times in my life where I definitely was not the best version of myself. Perhaps possibly the 25 years before I went vegan. Now I've been 18 years vegan. Is that the best version of myself? Well, it's been the best I could do, I suppose. I feel like maybe I could have done better, but I'm always living the best version of myself. You are. If you're vegan, you are. You are always living the best version of yourself. Keep going. The best version of me is never lost. No matter what I've been through in the past, I can choose to live fully from this empowered state. Ooh, I like that. No matter what you lived through in the past, you can choose to live fully from this empowered state. Vegans, you could choose to live fully in this empowered state. What could be more empowering than somebody who has literally challenged the status quo and said, you know what? I am not going to live according to this programming. I am going to reject my indoctrination. I am going to fly in the face of any of these erroneous teachings from these bourgeois animal abusers. Who are you but the most empowered masses? You vegans, you happy few, we band of brothers and sisters. I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad you're vegan. I hope that you are living fully empowered in this. I hope that you are living fully in this empowered state. That's what I want to say. I hope you are living fully in this empowered state. Veganism is an empowered state. It truly is. Because I think that vegans are the only ones who've seen behind the curtain at the Wizard of Oz. They've seen behind the curtain and they're going to do something about it. They're going to act differently. They're going to think differently. They're going to speak differently. They're going to do differently. And so thank you, vegans. Thank you for being empowered and living fully. My name is Skyjack Morgan, and that is your vegan daily affirmation for vegans only. Like and subscribe. Hi, Valves. Hey, guys. Hey, just tuning in. Happy to hear your protest went well, Sky. Victorious Vegan, the protest went quite well. Yeah, over at the Jim Henson Company. It wasn't mine, of course. It was mostly organized by Jess McKay, the famous puppeteer, Jess McKay, who's working on a vegan puppet show called Kindness Town. I'm really excited about that. And he's been fighting to end feather use in puppetry for quite a long time. He wants to push that, and I'm behind him. I'm a big supporter, I guess. And I'm a big supporter of his efforts, because I think that if we can convince someone like the Jim Henson Company to actually embody the values that they espouse, things like kindness, fairness, justice, that maybe we can encourage and inspire all sorts of industries in entertainment, especially other, you know, other kind of quadrants of the industry of entertainment, but also fashion. I think puppetry is a really interesting spot between fashion and entertainment, because Kermit the Frog was made out of his mother's coat, right? Puppets are, it's odd to think about, are mostly using materials from the fashion industry. And if puppetry started saying, no, we're no longer going to use dead animals to decorate our puppets, then maybe we can have fashion industry also take a little bit of a breath there and think, holy crap, if they're not going to use feathers anymore, we need to all stop using feathers. Especially feathers seems like such low-hanging fruit. We should be able to do it. Stop using feathers to decorate clothes. Thank you. Then we can, I mean, leather is the obvious one too. I don't know why we're still using leather, but that's a whole, and I'm Demon Wolf has a good video about bivalve sentience. Oh, does he? Or she? I don't know. I'm Demon Wolf. That sounds great. We don't know that a different physiology means lack of sentience, the real thing. Yes, you're absolutely right. But I would say the real thing, sentience is not the only marker by which we need to determine whether or not we destroy or harm somebody. Like, sentience is a good tool to use, but I maintain that if someone has the capacity to suffer, we have the moral obligation to not cause that suffering, not be the designer of that suffering, especially, right? We design the suffering of these animals, these oysters. Whether or not they're sentient doesn't matter to me. If they were brain dead humans that could for some reason only experience pain but no other markers of sentience, I would say don't do it, don't cause them suffering. I'm so frustrated by it, because this shouldn't be hard concept. If you have human beings and they can experience no other human experience other than pain, you should not cause them pain. That's it. They clearly don't want it. Oysters are basically that. They clearly don't want this. Stop doing it to them. Like, if an animal, it clearly doesn't want it, would rather run, swim, crawl, or anything away, don't do it. You could go, oyster. Please have a nice day, Mr. Oyster. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed individuals can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has. Margaret Mead. Nice quote, Victorious Vegan. I've been thinking about doing quotes of the day. I've been thinking about doing that because I love today in history, but I'm always worried that other people don't like it as much as I do. I love doing today in history, and I'll just keep doing it in private. I'll just keep doing it in private and just not share that. I'm just not sure that everyone else is as cool with the history lesson as I am. There's no cool word to define what's wrong with speciesism in the world, like patriarchy. The matrix doesn't sound like something I would take seriously. The problem with that matrix thing is that it's been already co-opted by people like Andrew Tate. But you're absolutely right. There's no cool word to define what's wrong with speciesism. Well, we have human supremacy. We have human supremacy. We have colonialism. Colonialism shows what's wrong with speciesism. I think that works. Yeah, we have to think about that, though. Colonialism, I think, would work pretty well. Human supremacy is something that comes up in Star Trek and Star Wars, actually, in the books. They talk about how human supremacy in these organizations show that the Federation is a racist organization. Speciesist organization. It's one of the things that goes back and that we have to explore in Star Trek and Star Wars. It's kind of cool. shucking. Yeah. What animals want their ass cut off with a knife? That's what oyster shucking is. You're absolutely right. Oyster shucking is disgusting. You love the history lessons? Thank you, Victoria Vegan. I appreciate that very much. I'm happy that you think that you like. I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you like it because I like doing it. So, you know what they say, if you're in YouTube, you should be doing stuff that you like. But this whole point of me doing YouTube was to make content for vegans that they like, that vegans like. And I've just been vegan a long time, so I felt like maybe I know what vegans like. Maybe I could do something on YouTube for vegans. That would be so rewarding to me, and hopefully maybe some of you will come along for the ride. Quote of the day is a good idea. I have dozens saved on my phone to use. Neil, if you want to send them to me, I'll use them, baby. You can, if you have dozens saved on your phone, share it with me. I'll use them. We'll do it. Thank you very much, Victoria's Vegan. I'm an entertaining, enthusiastic host. I'm enthusiastic about justice, so I'm glad that you. I'll take that compliment. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I need it. It's Tuesday, baby, and Tuesday's good news day. You know what I'm saying? You guys, I just want to remind everyone to like this video, and also if you are watching on Facebook, Twitter, or Twitch, please do me the solid. We're only monetized on YouTube. If you click subscribe on YouTube, it will help the channel. You can feel free to continue to watch on Twitter and Twitch and Facebook, but please take the 2 seconds to click on over to YouTube and hit that subscribe button. And all of you who are already here on YouTube, please click on that little thumbs up icon to say thanks and say happy new year to me. Happy Tuesday. All right. The word of the day is a really fun one. The word of the day is one that I use a lot, I think. The word of the day for vegans only is glom. I like that because all of these other activist groups, they kind of glom on to veganism. All of these celebrities kind of glom on to veganism, and I think sometimes to our detriment because they're not actually vegans. Kim Kardashian is my favorite example to use because she's what? I'm like 98. Yeah, I'm like 98% vegan, so I deserve to murder this chicken and eat her wings today because I'm like 98% vegan. Yeah. Yeah, that's not vegan. So stop glomming onto our word. I really like this term. Sometimes vegans, sometimes we glom on to other activist activities, some other causes. We glom on because we say, okay, well, you're I don't know, for example, the famously during the BLM, during all the stuff that was going on after the murder of George Floyd, a lot of vegans kind of glommed on saying, hey, this is a justice movement. The only justice movement that is big enough to handle issues of police brutality might be veganism. That's glomming on as well. And I'm not going to tell you my opinion about that. But glomming on, glom is such a wonderful word. To glom is to take or get something. Glom is most often used in the phrase glom onto, to refer to taking something for your own use, becoming strongly attached to or associated with someone or something, or becoming aware of something. The book consists of a collection of humorous essays glommed from popular magazines. Oh, they say that too, glommed. Although I'd say gleaned from instead of glommed from. I would say gleaned from. I don't think this is a good word, good use of this word. The author is known for glomming onto other people's ideas as if they were his own. That's really good. You know, like Sir Isaac Newton said that if I have seen further, it is because I have stood on the shoulders of giants. That's what Sir Isaac Newton said. It's a very famous quote. Most people know the shoulders of giants thing. It's been a pretty commonly used quote. If you didn't know it was from Sir Isaac Newton till today, you're welcome. But that's something that he was very good at. Sir Isaac Newton glommed on to other people's ideas and then extrapolated so many amazing things from them. Isaac Newton was a very interesting guy. Like, he stuck a knife into his own eye to like understand how light refracted. I mean, that's pretty intense, right? And he also came up with, you know, gravity and stuff by glomming onto other people's ideas and taking them to the next level. other business owners have not yet glommed on to the impact of the new parking garage will have on the town. Oh, that's good. Other people have not glommed on to the fact that veganism is the only justice movement that will have lasting impact on people and planet and all living beings. So other people need to glom on to veganism. I like that. Yeah, it's a good use of that word too, in a positive sense. I used, I guess, two negative versions, but I like that in a positive way. People need to glom on to vegans. Let's get to glommin. In context, all the way in May 2023 in the Star Tribune, I am aware that adaptations have been with us for centuries and that Shakespeare borrowed his best plots, but that doesn't stop this book lover from being suspicious when movies and plays glom on to my favorite titles. I guess that's true. You know, like, My biggest problem with J.K. Rowling was that I felt like she just glommed on to other people's, like, J.R.R. Tolkien's ideas and just kind of ran with them like they were her own. But I guess Shakespeare did the same thing. So, and I love Shakespeare. So I don't know. Is J.K. Rowling? Yeah, she's got other problems these days. I don't want to talk about J.K. Rowling. Push. I'm so glad I was never a huge Harry Potter fan, because now I feel very conflicted. I would feel very conflicted. I'm very lucky that I can just be like, wait, she what? Okay, I'm glad I'm not into that stuff. Don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'm not a big, not big into J.K. Rowling these days. Never have been, though, so I'm lucky. Did you know, this is my favorite part of the day, it's a classic case of glomming. Americans seized on glom, a term from the Scots dialect that basically means to grab. Oh, okay. Scots. We got any Scottish people in the house? Any Scots in the house? And appropriated as their own, changing it to glom in the process. Glom, first meant to steal, of course. Every word means to steal in English. We got a lot of words for steal in English. As in the purse-snatching robber kind of stealing, to glom. Interesting. But over time, that meaning got stretched to include figurative uses. Today, the term is most familiar in the phrase glom onto or glom onto. Interesting. Onto or glom onto, which can mean to appropriate for one's own use, as in glomming onto another's idea, to grab hold of, as in glommed onto the last cookie, to latch onto, as in glom onto an opinion, or glom onto an influential friend, or to become aware of, as in glomming onto the potential of this new technology. Not bad. I really like this word. I hope that you guys will be able to use it productively in your activism. You know what? Because this has been the word of the day for vegans only. It's only for vegans. If you're not vegan, don't use words that we use, okay? Don't glom on to our glommin. We're going to glom on to this word as vegans, and I hope I can see it in all of your comment sections when you're commenting on carny BS. Keep going. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Keep going. I glom onto things occasionally. That's good. I love Margaret Mead quote. My mom, plant-based, says that I can't change the world to be vegan. And that kind of mindset from her is exactly why the world doesn't change. Well, I mean, everyone said this is why I think the history part of this show is so important, because people forget that history has changed. History is always changing. Change is inevitable. Like this idea that, well, it won't ever change. What are you talking? Are you on the same planet I am? The world changes like drastically, like a whole hell of a lot. The world changes. Think about, like, you know what? Like, I remember we're talking, even the ideas like Kafka. We were talking about, it was Kafka's birthday a while back. And I was like, oh yeah, Kafka, you know, blah, 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 blah. Kafka wrote in German. Kafka's not German. Kafka was writing in Prague, the Czech Republic. But he wrote in German. You know why? Because Germany, the Austrian Empire at the time, used to own the Czech Republic. That's pretty crazy. You're talking about a country that used to speak a totally different language, as all of its laws were written in that language, all of it in memory. Like, it's not that long ago. Kafka wasn't that long ago. I've read most of his books. Like, that's not that long ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, things do change. Do you know that the word maximize and minimize, those words were invented by William Shakespeare? That was only a few hundred years ago. Like, those words didn't exist before he used them? That's insane. Things change. big time. I say glom onto change, embrace change, because embracing change is embracing life. Life is change. Embrace one, embrace the other. I glom on to dissing reasonable vegan like other vegans do. It makes me feel more connected to my fellow vegans. Nilf, I hope you saw. I can't remember if you were in yesterday's stream. We talked about his anti-Cliff Gates video, because I love Cliff Gates and I want to stick up for my fellow vegans. Thank you so much for being here, for sure. No Potterhead here. Only care for Star Wars and Star Trek. I loved Star Wars when I was a kid, but I'm not, ever since Disney, I'm not a big fan. Michaela Erickson, my parents tell me the same thing. It's super apathetic and isn't going to stop me from trying. Can't stand that shit, though. It's weird. I think like the baby boomers especially, I think you guys are probably talking about, maybe you're talking about Gen X, but baby boomers and even Gen X, they're always like, baby boomers, I feel like, yeah, they just took advantage of their time and they don't give a shit. Gen X just feels like they got screwed, because like I was born the last year of Gen X, so I'm like a cusp. I'm more of a millennial, but I'm also Gen X, because I was born inside of Gen X, 1 year inside of Gen X. So I feel like I'm on both sides, and I do feel like Gen X just feels like, yeah, we got screwed. We got totally screwed. Everything sucks. We are forgotten. We were left on to our own devices, and we're just trying to do our own thing. That's what Gen X is. It almost feels like a lost generation. Millennials, it's like trying to be hopeful in a world that is not. In a world that doesn't look like there's anything to be hopeful about. I watch great animal rights activists to learn from them, and through my glomming, I become a better activist myself. Oh, that's a good one, bro. That's a good one, Brian. I like that one. I like that one. Thank you. I'm glad you liked it. Thank you. I'm millennial, but my heart is Gen X, says Turning Veganese. They say if you're born between like 77 and like 83, you're kind of a cusper. You're almost you're like both. Because I definitely feel both. I feel like millennial and I feel like a Gen X. I do feel like I'm both. Because I was born in 79. I'm Gen X. Careful now. My mom's a baby boomer, and trust me, they got screwed just like everyone else. Yeah, Carrie, I guess, but baby boomers also lived through a time of incredible economic growth that if you were just there, you should have made out okay. You should have done okay. Just being a baby boomer, you had a couple advantages over the rest of us. But especially in the West, especially if you're born in the West, but even if you were born in some Asian countries, you were pretty good. Like if you were born in Japan as a baby boomer, you probably did okay. Some of the greatest economic growth in the history of the world. Yeah. Nope. Well, sorry. You got the Ashkata. Es tut mir leid, dass du die Ashkata gekriegt hast. Yeah, I'm from 1983. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense that you feel like a Gen Xer. That makes perfect sense. You're got both. 30% inflation. Where, Carrie? What country? Your ET drove the video game industry to bankruptcy. All right. So that was the word of the day. I just want to do a little bit of history today, because today, see, we're talking about how things change. And two things happened today that I really want to talk about. But there's a couple things I hope that you'll stick around for, okay? We only got a little bit more time left before the pre-shift is over, and I hope that you enjoy Today in History! Today in History! All right, here we go. Today in History, we have the Spanish Civil War begins, Kim Jong-un comes to power. Those are two big ones. But the Florence Cathedral... Okay, so the Great Rome of Fire begins under Emperor Nero in 64. The year 64, Roman Emperor Nero supposedly played a fiddle while Rome burned. You might have heard of that saying before. He plays the fiddle while Rome burns. That's what I think of as the Republican Party saying that, oh, there's no such thing as climate change. We'll just play with our penises while Rome burns. That's what the Republicans are happy to do. Let's plant a trillion trees. That's what they've been doing for the last 50 years. Never forget, they've been playing the fiddle while Rome burns. Florence Cathedral. I've been there. Today, the campanile went up. The first foundation stones were laid in 1334. It's such an incredible place. This Florence is one of the most incredible places on planet Earth. It's the home of the Renaissance. This is very interesting to me because what this is right here is a picture of a postcard. People used to go make a pilgrimage to the Florence Cathedral and then send a postcard back home. And here's evidence. This is what the postcards looked like. People sent these via ancient post to their friends to show, ha ha ha, I saw one of the wonders of the modern world, but you can't see it. This feat of engineering. That dome on top, this dome right here, the reason why that dome is so important and why this cathedral is so important is because the Roman Empire fell and they lost the recipe for concrete. And they knew concrete existed because they had Roman ruins around with domes. And everyone wanted to build a dome. So they kept on trying to be like, how can I build this dome? And this guy Brunelleschi, he's like, I can build a dome. They're like, we don't think so. So they built it out of brick with mathematics so that the weight of the bricks fell evenly. And that's why it looks more like an egg than it looks like what we think of as a dome. Because that was the only way they could get it done. They wanted a dome. They didn't have the recipe for concrete. You want to say things don't change? You want to say shit don't change? Rome fell and they lost the recipe for concrete for like hundreds of years. No recipe for concrete. Think about a world with no concrete. Think about that. All right. Keep going. Adolf Hitler published Mein Kampf in 1925. So Adolf Hitler publishes Mein Kampf in 1925 today, the original title being 4.5 years of struggle against lies, stupidity, and cowardice. My favorite thing about Mein Kampf, if you're allowed to say that out loud, is that Mein Kampf means my fight or my struggle. It means endless struggle. It means jihad. Jihad means endless struggle. Endless struggle is what we called in the West the fight against terrorism. People love to use this word in their own languages. They love to say it, Mein Kampf. Everyone loves to say it in their own language, but only the Germans aren't allowed to say it anymore. You're not allowed to say it anymore if you're German. I'm sorry, because even when we want to say it, we say it in that language because we don't like it being reflected on ourselves. But make no mistake, jihad, my struggle, and Mein Kampf all mean the same thing. Spanish Civil War only. Now, this is what I think. This is the two things I want to talk about right here. In 1925, Hitler publishes Mein Kampf, right? Some people think of it as like the birth of fascism. Fascism hadn't really totally been thought of yet. It was basically a Mussolini somewhere else is talking about fascism. He invented it, but this guy Hitler really got really going here. He got really thinking about it when he was in prison. He wrote Mein Kampf. So only 11 years later, Spanish Civil War starts in 1936. You want to tell me things don't change? Franco issues his manifesto and leads an uprising in the Spanish army stationed in Morocco. Francisco Franco in 1936 started a fascist revolution that lasted until what, the late 60s or 70s? I forget. It didn't go well. They were fascist for a long time. Picasso painted Guernica as part of a protest about the civil war in Spain. That painting had to live in New York forever because in his will, he said, until there's democracy in Spain, this painting will not belong to the Spanish people. Luckily, now it's there. It's there now. It's there. But the New Yorkers didn't give it up easy. But Picasso, in his will, was always against fascism and against Franco. Franco was trash as turning Franco was bad. Bad dude. He was a bad dude. Really horrible. How do you lose a recipe? You burn down the city. You burn down all the libraries. The Dark Ages started when the Roman Empire ended. They also lost the recipe for steel. They lost the recipe for steel, and they lost the recipe for concrete for like almost 1,000 years. Just nothing. And it didn't help that the Christians were telling everyone that science was bad. So they couldn't really come up with new ideas very easily. So that was what we called the Dark Ages. Everyone was religious and no one believed in science or industry or anything like that. That's how that happens. Kim Jong-un is officially appointed the supreme leader of North Korea. Kim Jong-un, of course, is the weirdo over in North Korea. He's getting in the news again today. Don't forget that name. He's only been in power since 2012. Don't forget, he's only been in power for 11 years. It seems like it's always been this way. It hasn't always been this way. Anyone who says that's bullshitting you. 2013, Michigan files for bankruptcy, the biggest U.S. municipal bankruptcy in history, $18.5 billion. There's whole parts of Detroit, Michigan that have been completely cut off. They just cut it off. They're not policing it anymore. They're just letting it go. They're just cutting it off, and it just grows. Have you seen Barbarian, the movie Barbarian, the horror movie? That movie takes place in a part of Detroit that's just been cut off. They just don't care, so they let it deteriorate just like a ghost town. They're cutting it off like diseased limbs. It's a very scary thing when that type of thing starts happening in an American city, a metropolis. All right, Billy Joel, Glass Houses album tops the chart in history, 1980, Glass Houses, and this is the song, "It's Still Rock and Roll to Me." Everyone loves It's Still Rock and Roll to Me. Billy Joel, I wish he'd go vegan. Wouldn't that be great if Billy Joel were vegan? I think it'd be great. I would be his uptown girl if he were vegan. All right, keep going. All right, today, birthday. Robert Hooke was the guy who he basically single-handedly created science as we know it. He basically rebuilt London because after the big fire, and he helped build the St. Paul's Cathedral. He was a pioneer in microscopy. Yeah, big deal. Big deal guy. In fact, when Isaac Newton said that he was standing on the shoulders of giants, he was talking about Robert Hooke. He wrote that to Robert Hooke. That's who he wrote it to. That quote was actually in a letter to Robert Hooke. That's when Isaac Newton said that, because he said that Robert Hooke was the person on whose shoulders he stood in order to invent gravity, to discover gravity. How do you want to say it? To describe gravity. Look at this cricket player. W.G. Grace is a cricket player. He's seems like a badass. Are there any vegans here? We have Quisling, who is the Norwegian Nazi collaborator. He was shot in a firing squad. He was Quisling is a name that people know only as traitor. He's like Benedict Arnold. He was a Norwegian who switched sides during the war, and for that he was charged with high treason and Nazi collaboration and was murdered by firing squad. George Machine Gun Kelly was the Alcatraz inmate who famous for being an Alcatraz, but also famous for liking machine guns. His wife and he both went to jail for 20 something years. He died in jail. She lived a long, happy life. He died of a heart attack. Machine Gun Kelly. It's funny. Machine Gun Kelly also was known as a guy who like talked big, but wasn't as hard of a gangster. He was more of a kidnapper. He was a bank robber, bootlegger, kidnapper. But people, also other prisoners and stuff. He was a model prisoner. He didn't cause any trouble. He was like a really nice guy in prison, apparently. They think a lot of his infamy was actually from his Lady Macbeth style wife, who was like pushing him up as this hardcore gangster. But I think it's always funny that rapper Machine Gun Kelly called himself that. Like, it's kind of a bad name for yourself, because he's kind of has a reputation for like talking big, but not really being that bad of a dude, not being that much of a badass. Anyway, he died in jail. The guy who didn't die in jail was Nelson Mandela, but he did go to jail for like 27 years, Nelson Mandela, for being an activist. You want to tell me nothing changes? Tell that to Nelson Mandela. He went to jail for saying that apartheid was wrong. Now everyone just agrees apartheid is wrong. He was in jail for all of my childhood, and he got out. And the second he got out, he became president of South Africa. You're going to tell me nothing changes? You're going to tell me nothing changes, that we can't make a vegan world? Tell that to, well, I mean, Nelson Mandela is dead now. He died a few years ago. But tell that to people like Nelson Mandela, 27 years in prison. He comes out and forgives. He forgives everybody. Him and Desmond Tutu go around forgiving everybody, giving amnesty to what they did. So crazy. What they did, he becomes president. Desmond Tutu, Bishop Desmond Tutu, they had this amnesty thing. And they say, all right, all you Nazis, all you modern day Nazis, come out, tell us where the bodies are buried. Tell us who's dead. Tell us what you know, and you will be given amnesty. We won't put you in front of the firing squad. We're not going to kill you. We just want to know the truth and everything that's true. And we want to know where our families are buried. We want to know what happened. And that's what happened. And that's how South Africa moved forward as a place of peace and economic growth. Wow. I mean, that is, I don't know if I could do that. Get out of prison after 27 years and be like, let's be forgiving. Let's forgive the people who put me here. Let's forgive the system that I spoke out against and was imprisoned for. Holy shit. I mean, that's a big deal. I hope that you love Nelson Mandela as much as I do. You should know about Nelson Mandela. If you don't, I'm sorry for you. John Glenn was the oldest man in space. He was also the first human to circle the Earth. He was the first human to go around the Earth. And then he went up when he was 77 years old. They threw him up into space again. I don't know why they did that one, but he went up again. There he is, old as fuck, going up into space. Old as fuck going into space. Sorry, that one just came out. I'm sorry. I that's worth it. That made me laugh. So it's worth, if I get demonetized for that one F-bomb, I feel like it's worth it for that, for this. Happy birthday, Mr. Glenn, astronaut. John Glenn, the astronaut. He went up to space at 77 years old. Tell him he doesn't. Tell him things don't change. Look at him. He was born in 1921. They didn't even have cars in the street in 1921. And this guy went to space like many times. He was the first dude to go around the Earth in space. He's like Magellan. Tell me shit doesn't change. Tell me things don't change. Tell me we can't have a vegan world. John Glenn went to space a lot of times. And he was old at 77 years old. Think about that. When he was born, there were no cars. When he died, people were going to space on the reg, and there was no, they had the internet. Like, it's a pretty big deal, right? The internet's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. Yeah. John Glenn. All right. I can't find any vegans. I don't think Kristen Bell's vegan. Nick Faldo's definitely not vegan. Richard Branson's not vegan. Vin Diesel, even though he cares about his family, he doesn't care about the animals. Vin Diesel cares about family, but he doesn't care about the animals. He plays a tree. He plays a tree in Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's not vegan. If anyone should be vegan, it's Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel should be vegan. I don't know why he's not. I don't know.
He likes Corona. Corona. I like Corona. I like family. Yeah, I don't have friends. I got family.
If you haven't seen the new Fast and Furious movie, it's horrible. It's kind of fun, but it's horrible. Yep, none of these people are vegan. Canelo Alvarez is one of the famous boxers. He's a big deal, you know. He's a Mexican boxer. He always fights on Cinco de Mayo. It's kind of cool. I've been to a couple of his fights. Yeah, let's keep going. Last but not least, who died today? Oh, yeah, this guy went the wrong way. All right, that's nothing. Don't care about that. What about who died today? All right. Machine Gun Kelly died on his birthday. That's something to remember. He got so excited about his birthday, he had a heart attack in prison and died. That's pretty cool. William Westmoreland was a famous general in Vietnam. We don't care about him. He died today. He was a famous general guy. Matthew Flinders was, we got Australians in the house. Any Australians in the house want to talk about Matthew Flinders? Flinders was the guy who mapped the coast of Australia. He's kind of a big deal. Big important guy for Australia. Matt Flinders was like an explorer and that type of guy. He was an English guy who like mapped out the coast of Australia and that type of thing. Pretty cool. But that's not who we want to talk about. Jane Austen died today. Jane Austen is one of the was widely considered one of the greatest novelists of all time. She was one of the only female writers that became canon for a long time. She was one of those writers that somehow snuck into canon, mostly writing books about how to land a good husband. But I also felt that that was always a disguise for better literature. Like, she wrote books about women trying to find rich husbands, but that's not what the books were really about. There's so much more there. Neither tempests nor pirates befriended them. I always loved, that's from Norton, shit. I can't remember the name of that book. Anyway, she's mostly known for Pride and Prejudice and those types of Pride and Prejudice. And that's the only one I can think of right now. I've read like six of her books, but Northampton? I don't know. Her books always have the same kind of stories. Pride and Prejudice is the big Sense and Sensibility. I don't know. Jane Austen, though, great writer. I've read most of her books in college because I was an English major, and you're kind of forced to read Jane Austen. And if you can't talk Jane Austen with people, and they're quick books, you can read them quite fast. So you might as well read them so you can have conversations with people. That's how I felt. That's how I feel about most things in culture. Most things I just want to read so I can relate to all of you humans out there, because sometimes I don't know how else I'm supposed to relate to all the humans. I've never felt like I'm one of us. Maybe it's because I'm vegan. I feel more human now because of all the vegans that I've met through the internet. I feel more connected to humanity now than I ever did before, because I never felt like I could really connect with other humans. And it's mostly because of the injustices that I always saw being carried out, and this, the opinions that people had about each other. But Jane Austen was one of those that if I read Jane Austen, I knew other people like Jane Austen and I could have conversations about it with them. So thanks. That was your day in history for vegans only. And I hope that you vegans have a better day than Jane Austen, who died today in 1817. Jane Austen died today. And I hope you have a better day than Jane Austen. Thanks, vegans. Kim is just as bad as Putin, but just not in the war. He's just as bad as Putin, but he's also not. Who's he going to attack? South Korea? That's like his only adversary. He can attack South Korea and Japan. Who does he want to attack? That's the thing about Kim Jong-un. He's safe. He doesn't need to attack anybody, so we don't have to worry about him so much. But man, every once in a while, remember when he looked like he was going to attack Hawaii when Trump was president? He wrote me a beautiful letter. He wrote me a beautiful letter, the most beautiful letter anyone ever wrote a president. He wrote a beautiful letter. Kim Jong-un and Donald J. Trump are great friends. Because people die, Kat. After 1,000 years, who's going to remember? We are a people with amnesia. We actually know very little about our origins. Yep. Franco once did a speech in the lamest English. It's hilarious. He did? I didn't know that. That sounds like fun. I'm talking about those guys during that time, steel and concrete probably got used a lot. So how come no smaller producer had a copy? I don't know. But they say that the way they rediscovered concrete was by destroying buildings. In war, if you had a battle during the rain and you blew up a building and there was fire and the rain, fire. And the rain and the that would make concrete. If you blew up a building and there's fire and you cooked the ashes and then rain, that's how you got concrete. But they didn't really know that for a long time. For like 1,000 years, I spent months amateur YouTube studying that entire concrete thing. You did? Yeah, it's interesting, right? How the hell they do that? Can any of us make a microchip? No, but I feel like I can make a car. I feel like I could create an internal combustion engine if I really had to. With enough time, I feel like I could take apart a car and rebuild it. But how would I do the steel? That would be the hard part. How would I get the steel? I would have to melt existing steel in order to get steel. Steel alloys, metallurgy, that would be the hard part, right? Like, it's easy to make a bullet, but how do you get the lead? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I could make a lot of stuff, but where am I going to get the gunpowder? How do I make black powder? You see, I think that we would lose it pretty quickly. It's so complex, very simple. We just forgot. Yeah, because a production method is saved in the cloud. Yeah, I mean, we could definitely paper copies. People think that, you know, if things get really bad, some of us will be able to build things. But like, why would you need a television? You wouldn't need one anymore. So it'd be like, why would you need a car if you can't get gas, you know? But I feel like batteries. I built a battery in the fifth grade. I built a battery from scratch for a science fair project. So I feel like I could build a battery if I had the chemicals. I think I could do it. Yeah. Shatner must have been older by now. Yeah, Shatner's older than Glenn. You're right. Maybe you're right. Shatner's probably the oldest guy in space. You're probably right, Nilf. Yeah, maybe John Glenn's just like the oldest guy NASA ever put up. Maybe that the oldest astronaut, because he went up as a passenger. Bill Shatner went up as a passenger, and Mr. John Glenn went up as a crewman. So I think that's the difference, right? If you start peeling off the layers of history, you'll find that that's not what we were brought up to think. Like everything else, most is lies. Nelson Mandela, the inventor of the Mandela effect. You know, the Mandela effect is that people think that he was that he died in prison, and other people realize that he did not die in prison. Isn't that weird? That's what the Mandela effect is. Yeah. You can't have sell story. Yep. Plants are sentient. Vin Diesel is the only person I'll listen to this silly argument.
I am Groot. I am Groot. I love you guys. I am Groot.
Shut up, Flinders. Nice. No, shut up, Flinders. Matt Flinders. He mapped the coast of Australia. Would that matter? Like, in some cases it could, but for instance, it's a fact that Hitler started World War II and that he hated Jews. Yeah, but a lot of people think that it was a lie, that there's a lot of Holocaust deniers. So I don't know. I mean, clearly the Holocaust happened, but people deny that Shakespeare wrote Shakespeare, and all of the evidence points that it was one guy who wrote Shakespeare, but people just don't believe the evidence right in front of their faces. People don't believe that the earth is round. There's so many idiots out there. I don't like books. Yeah, don't worry about it. That's okay. Books are boring. I like books. I like books a lot. Guys, that's the pre-shift. You've been pre-shifted. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you liked the information. I hope you liked the affirmation, the information, and the vocabulary word. Don't glom on to nothing. Glom on to the good stuff. Don't glom on to the bad stuff. If you can listen to Sky, you can listen to the fourth. All right, guys. I appreciate you so much about everything. And thank you especially to Ben Greenberg, who dropped €5 in the tip jar. I am eternally grateful. It's so important to me that we have folks like you out there helping out like that. And in the meantime, don't let the bastards grind you down. You've been pre-shifted.
It's so hard to not abuse animals.
Carnies can fuck themselves. Go fuck themselves. This is a shout out for vegans.
Hey, Y7M89, I really like this. 2 minutes behind, you see how everything that makes humans unique is the culmination, I think, of knowledge over thousands of years. There's nothing special in humans if you take them out of society. I've been saying that for a long time. Humans work together. That's why I think communism
kind of makes a lot of sense if you just tweak a couple things. Not Marxism is a bit of a stretch, but like working together is clearly what we're good at. We're not really good at inventing shit. Like, we always think that we're out there building the next new internet, but we're not. Most of us are good at using tools that have been invented by some of us. There's a few of us inventing crazy stuff like Ayn Rand's Fountainhead. Like, the fountainhead comes up and all of us rise up because of it. That is what human beings are good at. Oh, the internet was invented. Great. How do we use it? And we all glom on to the internet. Totally agree. If we are not in a group, human beings become pretty useless pretty quickly. You're absolutely right, Vice M89. I just want to mention, guys, last but not least, Vegan for Kindness is going to be on the show on Friday. I hope that you guys will tune in Friday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please be here for that, because I really think this Australian, he's on the other side of the world. So he's going to be up in a different, very different time zone. So I hope that you guys will understand that he's coming on live. It's very special to have someone on the other side of the world come on live with me and talk about veganism and what he's doing. He's making some really cool content. If you don't already know Vegan for Kindness, please check him out. And hopefully you guys will be here on Friday. Until then, illegitimate non-carborundum, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you, guys.